Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to 101 Part-Time Jobs with me, Giles Bidder. It's the podcast where I speak to artists about going from playing music, making music part-time into full-time, what that means personally, how they're able to operate in a way that's sustainable, building a world for themselves where they feel good, where they feel most inspired to create, and where they can relax as well and just be themselves. Jelani Blackman is on today's episode. He has such a memorable voice. Listening to his tunes feels like an exhale. He's collaborated with Brian Eno, Getz, Gorillaz, and his debut album, The Heart of It, comes out this Friday. The singles that have been released sound ace, and the whole record reads like a dream, featuring Ellie Roswell from Wolf Alice, Koji Radical, Bob Villain, who I'm doing a live show on the 12th of December with at Bush Hall. There's so much excitement and love that's gone into this record. The Heart of It is out Friday. Cheers for listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs, supported by 2000 Trees Festival, who have just announced their mega 2024 lineup. Today, they've announced Creeper onto the already stacked lineup of the Gaslight Anthem headlining, Manchester Orchestra, Lambrini Girls, and so many ace bands heading down to 2000 Trees. The tickets right now are the cheapest they'll be until the end of the year. You can sign up for a payment plan, and you can also currently get tickets that you can receive a full refund for if a few months down the line you figure you can't make those dates next July. 2000 Trees Festival in Cheltenham, just a few hours away from London. Get your tickets now at 2000trees.co.uk. Okay, before we get into this chat, I've got Rebecca from Ampollo here. Ampollo is the first all-in-one app connecting a global community of musicians and bringing an all-in-one place to practice, record, and collaborate. Until now, practicing has been kind of lonely. There's been technical barriers. These are all things that Ampollo is working to make your life better for. Isn't that right, Rebecca? What's going on over there?
Hey, you know, it's quite expensive getting yourself to a recording studio, to a practice room, taking your instruments there, hiring the room out, you know, food, travel, everything that comes with that. You can now record and practice with each other from the comfort of your own home, and the audio quality is amazing. And you can look back at what you've done and what you look like. So it's a real great tool to sit alongside any musician from any level.
Ampollo, get on it sooner than later. All right, here's Jelani Blackman a few days ahead of the release of his debut album, The Heart of It, here on 101 Part-Time Jobs. 101 Part-Time Jobs. I mean, maybe, look, a good place to start is that kind of, do you remember the first time that you like made that decision? For me, it was like I was big into playing cricket, which lasts the whole fucking day. And then there were local gigs happening where people were copping off and drinking, and you know, we're like 15, that formative age, you know. And I, like, there was that one weekend that I was like, I'm not going to play cricket anymore. I'm going to go to the gigs. Yeah. Was there a time for you that you remember like prioritizing putting forward music?
Yeah, like I think there was one specific moment. I can remember it really, really vividly. And I'd gone on, it was my first year of sixth form, and I'd gone on this Motown band trip with, it was like, there were like seven of us, and we went to Lake Garda, Lake Como in Italy.
Yeah, nice.
It was so beautiful. And like, I just remember coming around this corner, this bend in the mountains, and it was just, sun was just streaming down, and we were on our way to play like one of our, I think it was our second show or something like that. And I just remember thinking, if I can do this for my life, I think I'll be happy. And that was the first like moment of clarity when I'd experienced what it meant to be an artist, musician, and really felt like, okay, cool. This is something that I like enough that I could, spend my life doing it.
That's great. That's a great memory, isn't it?
It was so clear. It was mad how clear it was. And you know, there are a few moments of clarity that you have in your life, and like every now and again they stand out, and that is one of them. And to like, honestly, to this day, like even when I have moments like that, it still refers back to that feeling.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like if I'm traveling or I have a moment of like peace or contentment, like in music, it refers back to that first feeling of feeling like that at that stage. It always does.
Yeah, man, I think a lot about that, about growing up skateboarding and building BMX ramps and that kind of spirit. Whatever I felt then, like, could have been building a treehouse, could be like building that project, and then it turns to like going on tour or like holidays, that kind of like nucleus, I think that's always stayed the same for me. Like I'm still that 13-year-old who's like running out the door, you know?
Yeah. It's an important feeling, to be honest. And especially for like what we do, it's essential, I think, to maintain that feeling of joy in the thing and appreciating the moments that are significant, because they happen. But sometimes they pass you by so quickly that you're kind of thinking of the next thing, or you're progressing. And that's also the thing, is like being in the moment and just being present in your in your career, I think, is really important, because it can go, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, I fucked up all the shit I did.
It's a trick, isn't it? And you know, talking about 101 part-time jobs, that's a big one, like trying to find that moment and appreciate it and live it and not be distracted, not, you know, trying to be hopeful and not expectant, all of that stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's funny chatting about it. I don't know what my next version of that would be. I don't know what my next version of like that feeling of satisfied. I mean, obviously I've got the album coming up. So that's a massive, the debut album. Like that's a massive thing. I feel like to an extent that will give me that, but I don't know. I don't know if it will be the same. Because actually for me, this just feels like the beginning of getting really into that stage of stuff where I'm like, okay, cool. I've got the project out and I want to have the next one out by next year and like have that rhythm and get into it. It's the first time I've ever really felt like I can. So to be honest, this one might not be the one that makes me feel that sense of contentment and relief. This one is going to feel like a moment for sure, but I don't know what the next one. That sometimes that's the thing, isn't it? Like that's why it's fun, is that you don't know when the next moment, and you're just like, oh, okay. And then that, yeah.
And these moments, they're not synthetic. You know, when the heart of it comes out, that this project, this thing that you've been working towards. I was listening to it all this morning when I was down the gym, getting on the elliptical. That tune that talks a lot about being loud. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, because to me that says being loud in like an authentic, friendly sense. Do you know what I mean? Kind of being you, being true to yourself.
Yeah. It's not.
Is that sort of a round?
I think it is. And I think that's a really interesting interpretation, because I wouldn't have necessarily phrased it like that. But I actually think I'm glad that that's the way that it comes across, because for me, it wasn't a combative, confrontational. It was more of an internal, this is the noise that I'm making. And I love it because of, like, obviously it extends beyond me, but like not being able to make noise culturally because for fear of like, making people comment on certain things and et cetera, like I think the idea of making noise internally and that reflecting externally, but not really being about anyone else. It's just being about the fact that you want to make noise, and that's your voice, and you should be able to.
Yeah.
I like that. That's the way that that's come across. So that's good.
And that plays in with the line about, you know, wanting to go home with your pen. You know, coming home from a night out, being out two nights in a row, but you still got your pen. That's your jam. Yeah. That's your activity.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it always is. It's the constant, I think. And actually more so to an extent than music is like, it's the words really. And this project is all about the things that I'm saying. I was chatting to someone about this the other day, and it's like sonically, it goes through different worlds, but I think the thread is how I articulate things and the narrative that I'm trying to convey, which is just what it's like to live in the times that we live in now through the most kind of examining scope that I can do without it being boring and preachy. Like that's what I've attempted to do, because I know that people don't like, people don't lean towards or warm towards being educated through music. That's not really like why people go, but social commentary, especially now, I think is really important. And there's so much going on that it would be, I would feel my role as an artist wouldn't have been fulfilled if I'd not done that. Like they're the things I have to say. As much as I love a good time, as you said as well, like I love being out. I mean, less so now, but like I still love being out. I love going out. I love doing fun things. But I also, that wasn't enough depth for me for this as a project.
I think the message, the overlying message I receive is how much you're invested in making music, and that music being communication, being a reflection of society, being like an account of your life, your life growing up in London now, you know, in the last 30 odd years or however old you are. I'm 32, you know, but like, you know, that kind of this time of living in London, I think it's always gonna be interesting looking back on time. I think that we don't really maybe appreciate that right now, is that we can look back in 50 years and some of those lines you wrote in the heart of it, you might have forgotten specific bits by then, and you'll be like, oh, that's how life was.
Yeah. Well, it is a thing that happens, I think, in like in journaling or whatever. I don't do that, but like when people look back and they think about that they look at the thing, the person that they were. Or things. Also, the mad thing about music and writing is that there's so much that you say that you don't realise that you're saying. Like, I look at shit that I wrote, like, even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I'm like, rah, like, I didn't realise that's what I was saying at the time. But yeah, it obviously was. And it's so obvious in retrospect, but actually, yeah, at the time, yeah. You usually can't tell.
Talking earlier about that amazing memory of going into Lake Garda and being with your school, or, you know, in a kind of academic, educational kind of format playing music, I've often, you know, doing this podcast, and it's about people trying to make careers in music. More than that, though, it's kind of like an identity thing, like trying to put time into doing it and you know, kind of. For me, I've always had that battle against, you know, jobs that I don't want to work. And that is everyone, you know, my parents' generation, our parents' generation. It's like, you go to work, you don't question it.
Yeah.
Like, our generation is different, yeah. You know, in lots of different ways when talking about that conversation. So, I mean, did you always kind of know, were there two strands of thinking for you? You know, there was like that you could play music with your school, but there was this kind of outside music kind of world, which maybe more of a sort of going out social environment, yeah. That you kind of had those two things in tandem, because they don't really work together in that kind of classical sense where you could kind of stay in education, yeah. and like be part of like a bigger band or whatever it is, or kind of go independent, I suppose.
I think for me, music was always looking at it now, it was an inevitability, but like it was accidental on my part. Like, I, as much as I had that moment when I was 16 and I was like, I'd love to do this for my life, I didn't ever try and pursue it as a career. There was never a point where I was like, this is going to be my job. It was kind of like, London, you're super lucky in a lot of ways, because there are way more opportunities that you're going to come across to make it a career. But then obviously at the same time, you're kind of in it from the beginning. So it's a lot harder to make your mark if you don't cut through. So, because there's a lot of, I mean, it's London, isn't it? Like, people come here to become successful.
So it's so many it's people.
So it's a double-edged sword. But for me, I never really thought about anything else. If I'm honest, there was never really anything that, I mean, when I was younger, I think I wanted to be a barber, and there were like a couple of things, but this isn't because I don't like working, because I actually do love working, and I love having something to do. But I think there's like a thing that I remember again quite clearly, but I think I must have only been like 11, 12, but I said to my mum, I was going to bed, and I think I was just like to her, I was like, like, do people just work? And I do that. Is that something that they just do? And I was like, what, every day? And she's like, yeah, every day. I'm like, what? And it just didn't ever make sense to me. It still doesn't. Yeah. It still doesn't. And I think that genuinely it doesn't make sense universally. But because it's just the system that's been set up, people kind of adhere to it and don't ever really question. But it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that you would spend the entirety of your life. Like, it would make sense if we didn't have the resources to support other interests, less, more free time, et cetera, et cetera. It would make sense if we were like all farmers and we were just trying to get enough grain to survive the winter, fine. If we all had practical based jobs, it's fair, but like we don't. Like, lots of the things that we do are quite abstract anyway.
It's mad, isn't it? Because when you are a farmer, like you say, you're doing something, you're making something.
Yeah.
Like, the most I've been paid to do in any job is to receive emails and to send emails,
yeah,
that aren't really actually doing anything.
No, anyway.
And the world would not change if I did not go into work.
No, and the point is that really soon we're going to have the capacity to have AI do. I mean, it's already nearly there. Like, so those kind of roles are going to be redundant. So you have to think, what is it actually that it means? What's meaningful work? What is meaningful time spent? So, and that was like always the thing I thought. I kind of was always under the impression that before it ever became too significant in terms of my lifespan, something dramatic was going to happen to the world in general. And it would mean that any job that I'd ever tried to work towards was going to be redundant. So I should be doing the thing that I enjoy doing, which is music.
Have you ever had a hey, I'm projecting here because I've had this conversation so many times. Have you had a battle with talking about that to people around you? Have you had people around you say, why do you deserve to do that?
No, actually, to be fair, I've been quite lucky in that respect that I haven't had, but I know it's a thing, and I guess the community or the people that I'm around, even in terms of normal, I say normal life, but like life in general, like I'm like, it's only recently that the babies and like life thing is starting to happen, like married and stuff like that. Like, but it's not a very traditional group of people that I know. So I've never really felt the pressures of becoming traditional myself in terms of jobs or lifestyle.
And have those people been great to bounce off when you're talking about what you want to do, visualizing where you want to go, whether that's lyrics, whether that's sound, whether that's like the producer of the record, or like, have you got a circle or a group of people around you that you can talk openly about that? Because I think that is something that when you don't have that can be really difficult being an artist.
Yeah, for sure. The my friends and family have been instrumental in making this thing work for me in lots of different ways, in tolerating me playing the music and just enjoying that as a process, in like in advice or like when things have been coming to shows, posting stuff and supporting, like that's it's important. You do need good people around you to make your, I guess, not to be like too rare, but to like to make your dream exist. Like you need people around you that believe in it as well.
Yeah. It's positive affirmations. I think, you know, like, I think we can do, I think we have the ability to like red light ourselves all the time that we need. So, you know, to get green lights from friends is big.
And you know, and also my, the biggest person ever, I think in that context, which sounds obvious, but is definitely my mum. And she's greenlit me from the beginning with anything that I've ever wanted to do. And I think actually, because I've had it so much, maybe thinking about it now, I've taken it, not her, but like it for granted, because I know a lot of people who do have things that they want to do and they don't believe that they can do them. And it's always shocking to me. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you can't do it? Of course you can do it. All you just have to do is like do it. And they're like, oh, well, no, this could be this. Or like, well, they just don't have that self-belief or confidence. And that's never something that I've lacked or had to struggle with. So yeah, that is lucky.
It's a journey. And even like when you're like confident or in a good place now, it's like you're constantly working on it, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like, not to put words in your mouth or try and answer for you or anything like that, but it's like, I don't think like the best artist, I don't think it ever goes to cruising altitude.
No.
I think it's always going to be like, what's the next thing? What's that? You know, one, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think there's a foot off the gas. It's like, it's got to be a big part of your personality, I imagine.
Yeah, 100%. It's constant. And I'm always trying to push for what's going to come next, which again, kind of ties back into like what I was saying initially, which is sometimes you just have to really think about where you're at and the stage you're at, because otherwise it's really easy to get lost in the constant chase and the journey. Yeah. And the journey takes different forms as well. I think like that's also what I mean from the title of this, is that there are times that, like when I first came out of uni, the first job that I had was working in schools. And I used to work with I worked as a TA first, and then I worked with special needs kids. And like, I loved it. I would never take back that time. But even while I was there, I was not there, if that makes sense. Like, my journey was still running. My musical journey was ongoing. Regardless of how much I was engaging with it, it was still ongoing. And like, I think that's the thing about a passion or a love, especially something that you've ever had any kind of commercial success with, is that there'll be times when you do it more, and there'll be times when you do it less, and there'll be times that you only do it, and maybe times that you do other things. But like, if you look at anyone in music that's successful, like really successful, like music is the foundation, but the wealth or the kind of the expansion comes from outside of music. So like, I think the platform of basically doing the thing that you love as your day job is amazing, but there should always be other channels that you're looking at to be expanding into anyway.
And there's no right way. I think you know, you'll go down various sort of well-known established music pubs around London or anywhere in the world, and there'll be those people who are playing every weekend who are working a day job Monday to Friday. Yeah. And that is awesome. Yeah. You know, that's sick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like there's no right way, as is the person who quits it all and goes sleeps on couches for years. You know, there's no right way, is there?
I mean, I've been doing music full time for a long time now. And like, it's one of those things that even when there's been trickier moments or like waiting for stuff or whatever, I've said that I would rather be doing this at any level than anything else at any level. And I think that's like, when I was working, I was going in transport at like rush hour and rah, rah, and I was in my own world, and it actually didn't bother me that much. But now when I go on, I'm like, it's crazy. And I do just think whatever else happens in music, I would still rather be doing music and not like, for me, it was never really about the fame anyway. But like, I didn't need to be like that level of fame and not be able to walk down the street, etc. That's not what it meant to me. I think what it means to me is just, I'd rather be doing this than anything else.
If you can pay rent or pay a mortgage, have a family and play music every day, that would be amazing. Yeah. That's sick. That's like the dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
101 part-time jobs. It's an exciting time for collaborations. Do you know what I mean? So getting in the studio, writing with other people, that's a big part of your life, is it? That's a big part of your future.
Yeah, it's like fundamental to what I do, to be honest. It's my I didn't realize how much I've done it until like the other day, actually, when I kind of listed like all the features that I've done over the last few years, 3 or 4 years, and realized that it's, and like the people that I've collaborated with as well, like it's significant. It's a significant body of work in itself, and like I've got more coming. So the more I go on, the more I'll do it. Like, I'm really starting to find, like, a way of... Well, I guess people reaching out. And, like, the people that are reaching out are people that I really like. So that's different to what it may have been before, where it was kind of more, like, if I'd come across someone or, like, we were in the studio or whatever, then it would work. But, like, people now just reach out and I'm like, yeah, all right, cool.
The first day in the studio, having a cup of tea, having a shandy, you know, whatever it takes to kind of you to like get, you know, chat and communicate and understand where each other's coming from. Have you got, what, I mean, tell us what it's like. What's it like going into the studio for the first time with someone?
I mean, I find it really easy, to be honest, but I've been doing it so much for so long that it was really second nature. And it was only, I don't know, like maybe 2 weeks ago, like a week and a half ago, because I haven't been in the studio because I finished the album 6 months ago or whatever. And so I finished it like 5-6 months ago. I actually finished recording even earlier than that. So I've actually been in the studio, I don't think, for probably the longest time that I've ever not been in the studio. But I've been working with people, collaborating with producers from since I was 13. So like it's not like, it's second nature to me. Like going into a room and being like, let's make some music, it's second nature. But when I went in the other day, I was like, oh, like it was like coming home. It was so funny. It was kind of surreal. Like I sat down and I was like, oh yeah, like studio. But it was nice being back. But I just hadn't been in for a minute. But yeah, like it's for me, it's always been a thing. Like the Gorilla song, once we got the instrumental, like I wrote it in like 20 minutes, half an hour, and then we recorded it. It was like one take, and it was just yeah. But when it comes, it comes. Like yeah. I literally did a session yesterday for a feature, and we chilled and like we just caught up, and then he played it to me, and I wrote it in like 15-20 minutes. Like it's yeah. very. But writing is my thing. Like that's how it comes. If it doesn't come that quickly, then it's more to do with like the what I'm writing to. So then it's yeah. But if I like it, then it's almost immediate. So that's my process, and like it's something that I enjoy a lot. So
yeah, nice. When you finish a day, I mean, say if you write something in 20 minutes, you lay it down and. You know, the first couple of takes, can it sometimes feel like, is there anything more to do? Should we do it more? You know, you want to do more. Like, is there that feeling? How easy do you find it to kind of walk away and be like, that's job done, I guess?
Yeah, it used to feel like a thing. Now I know when it's job done. Like that comes with experience. Like I would spend more time in the past because I just wouldn't believe that it was done already. But then the first time I realized that I needed to not do that was Hello. The tune. We were working on something else. And then the guy, the producer staff that I was with, he just started playing this guitar thing. And it was so mad how quickly it happened. From like the recording of the actual song is the first recording that I ever did, and I wrote it, and that was it. And I was just like, and then listen back, I was like, this is sick. I was like, and so from that point onwards, I didn't ever second guess the first instinct. Maybe there are a couple lines that would be tweaked, but never. Yeah, I just it's like instinct, isn't it? Like. Yeah. It's like if you I can't think of a good analogy, but like when you're working something out and you start to second guess, that's when it becomes impossible to work out what the right thing is. You just have to trust your gut, and if it's wrong, then it's wrong. But like, it's not going to get any better than that first instinct.
And no one will ever make sense of that, right? Because it's like we were saying it earlier. You know, these moments, they're not synthesized. Just because you try harder, don't mean it's going to be better. So, like, letting it go is a thing. You can't grab it, can you? You can't fully grasp that.
No, and it is hard. It is hard to like get good at letting go, at knowing when something's done and being like, yeah, hands off. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, I've got to ask, you know, we all kind of know how Damon works because there's a lot of videos on YouTube and the rest kind of, you know, in his studio in Ladbroke Grove in, you know, under the overpass where, you know, we get even by those videos and interviews with him, you get that feel of like, you know, he's working 10 till 6 or, you know, every day and getting people in every day and working and having fun equally, maybe like shooting some hoops outside and sharing stories or just, you know, watching the trains roll by. Tell me about what memory will you take from what you've done with him so far? Cause I imagine there'll be more, but what memories do you take away from working with Damon?
Oh, good question. I like that he asked to play table tennis before we went upstairs to the studio, and he was super competitive, which I also really like because I'm also really competitive.
That's fun. That's fun.
Yeah, I like that. I guess it was just we had a really good chat about like philosophy. Like, I think it was either just after recording or but at some point during that day. That was really nice, and we kind of just. Got into it, which was cool.
Nice. Yeah.
And then obviously like being on stage and the kind of, yeah, the feeling of being on stage when we did the rehearsal for the O2 shows and it being like, okay, this is a thing, and him being happy and feeling confident like, and feeling confident in what I was going to do. That was a really good moment as well.
Being on that stage must have been like, cool, all right, this is gonna happen again in my life maybe, and I'm gonna enjoy this moment. And right now I'm like feeling it. I'm feeling having 20 monitors around me and kind of getting used to that and leaning into it. What was that like?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. It was actually weirdly easier than like sometimes even smaller shows, because there's so many people that you kind of go into autopilot a little bit, and like you just you're not really looking at anyone, you're looking at like everyone, and then it was definitely a big moment, but I loved it. I'm looking forward to when I do it again, because I will definitely do it again.
So there he was, Jelani Blackman on 101 Part-Time Jobs. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, please leave a review or rate if you've got a moment. All of that stuff helps me in the show massively. It means I can keep on getting brilliant guests with amazing stories. And, you know, we can make this community. I think I do this because I have a need to communicate. So doing these episodes, sharing these stories really fills me up. So thank you so much for joining. I'll be back later on this week with an episode with Gavin Rossdale from Bush, who are just about to release their new greatest hits record. See you on Thursday.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.